Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, soldier at arms, your comrade in battle in this war with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. And indeed, it is always a privilege, and I count it an honor and definitely a joy to be talking to you from this platform that we call Black Power Radio, sending you, the listening audience, the definite greetings of peace and prosperity, peace and blessings, in all of the languages of our ancestors and our ancients, of peace and blessings from the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, that's Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We send you greetings of peace and blessings and prosperity, and also that mighty war cry of black power from the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And we send you black power greetings from all of the chapters and all of the study groups that are across the globe who are holding the bloody blood-stained banner of the Panther High. We're talking about the chapters of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, coast to coast. I'm your brother, Sean Kwali, and as you can easily see, it is definitely lecture night, and we are going to hear tonight from the Black Power General. That's right, get your popcorn out. Get your popcorn ready and get your favorite drink out. Make sure it's non-alcoholic. I want you to hear every single word this man got to say tonight, the Black Power General. You've heard a lot. Many of you have heard a lot about this speech and about this lecture, but you have not, many of you have not heard for yourself the actual contents of the lecture, the King College lecture, the secret relationship between blacks and Jews. And so we want to revisit the lecture tonight, and we want to listen away from all the controversy, away from all of the talk show, away from all the hoopla that this speech brung at that time. We want to listen to the content of this speech and to see the jewels that the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, that he laid out in this speech, that we may take this and put this in our arsenal and be prepared and be equipped to do battle against the forces of falsehood and the forces of those who say, as the books say that they are Jews, but are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. And so we'll be checking in on you, most definitely, and you feel free to check in with us. But for those of you, if you like the message, and we will repeat this at the end of the broadcast, if you like the message that you hear, be sure to go to nbpphq@yahoo.com. That's nbpphq@yahoo.com. NewBlackPanther.org, O-R-G, and sign up and be a Panther. So without any further ado, that's right, I want to bring right to you the Black Power General, the chairman from 1998 to 2001, the new Black Panther Party. We're talking about the man himself, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Black Power.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. I bear witness that regardless to land or label or language, there is but one God. And so in the name of that one God who came, as it was written and prophesied, that he would come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we can find no other people fitting the description of the Bible prophecies of the lost brother, the lost sister, or the lost sheep, except we, the 50 million or more, mentally and spiritually dead, Black men and women here in the hells of North America. So we thank him for coming and raising up his Messiah and his messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we thank the two of them for the man who we believe is the champion for the liberation and salvation of the Black nation, that man who we believe is anointed and appointed for this hour of our resurrection and rise. I speak of none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so in the name of Master Farad Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet you, my beloved and beautiful Black sisters and brothers and others, with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. Hotel, Alafia, free the land, Black laws for all Black people. It is indeed my honor to be invited here on the King College campus and to speak to you on this very important topic and title. I did not choose it myself, but I welcome the opportunity to speak on this topic. The topic that has been given to me is the secret relationship between Black and Jew. Now, let's not get it confused. Let's act like we know. You know what I'm saying? The subject, the secret relationship between Black and Jew. I bring you greetings here at King College in Jersey from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who sends his greetings of love and unity and solidarity. And with us this evening is his representative from our mosque in Newark, New Jersey, but also over the entire state of New Jersey, his representative and his minister, Minister Kadir Muhammad. Please, let us give him a black hand. Why is it called the secret relationship between Black and Jews? First of all, there are a group of faculty and staff and some Jewish students, I believe, and others from the community who are passing out this wonderful note. I think we should go over this note. And let this note help us to set the tone for the evening. Is that all right? Let me say to you before we even get started. If your seats get too hot for you, don't leave. Just raise up and fan it a little bit and sit back down. Everything will be all right. And to the whites who are in the audience, let me say to you before we even get started, it's going to be a rough ride, buddy. It's going to be a rough ride. Better buckle in. Buckle up, guys. Buckle your seatbelt. If for any reason this auditorium becomes depressurized, automatically oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. Please make sure to fix the elastic band around your head firmly and put the mask over your mouth and nose first, and then help the white person next to you. I didn't come to King College to tiptoe through the tulips. I didn't come to King College to pussyfoot. I didn't come to King College to dilly-dally and beat around the bush. I didn't come to pin the tail on the donkey. I came to pin the tail on the hunky. Came to speak the truth, whether you like that truth or not. I couldn't give a damn if you stood thousands on the sidewalk passing out leaflets before my people come in here this evening. We have a right to evaluate and examine the secret relationship between black and Jew. Good evening. This is the Truth Hour. And don't you touch that dial. You stay tuned in. Let us read November 29, 1993. A note from the King College Jewish Faculty and Staff Association. Shall we? To those attending the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, we affirm the speaker's constitutional right to offer controversial views. We only ask that this audience use the same critical thinking and evaluation that would normally be expected in a college community. Without prejudging the content of this lecture, the book of the same title by anonymous authors, the Historical Research Department, in parentheses, of the Nation of Islam, has drawn the repudiation of African Americans like, let's see what this honor roll is here, African Americans like Clarence Page, William Raspberry, Stanley Couch, Alice Walker, Ishmael Reed, August Wilson, Mel Reynolds, John Lewis, Uncle Tom Bradley, Dinkins David Dinkins, Ron Brown, and the late Bayard Rustin. Y'all know Bayard, honey. What a Shanae's friend. Bayard Rustin debated Malcolm X, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Omar Wallace. Brother Malcolm debated on the Ivy League campuses of white America with an eighth grade education from the white man, but supreme wisdom from the old, from Almighty God, man in our midst with that old time knowledge and ancient wisdom from the very beginning, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Malcolm was able to handcuff scholars all over America. Some crackers, that's what I told you. Some crackers with one PhD. Some with two PhDs. But when white folks can't defeat you, they'll always find some Negro, some bootlicking, butt-licking, buck-dancing, bamboozled, half-baked, half-fried, sissified, pokeified, pasteurized, homogenized Negro that they can trot out in front of you. I hear you had one of these Negroes on campus a few weeks ago, some Negro named Lewis Gates. Who let this Negro out of the gate? Henry Lewis Gates. Malcolm debated Bayard Rustin for the white folks. Bayard took the position of the Peckerwood, and Malcolm beat the hell out of him. And when Malcolm got through beating him, Malcolm said, if it's one thing I hate, is a white man who acts like a white. That is a black man who acts like a white man. Malcolm said, if it's one thing I hate worse, that a black man who acts like a white man is a black man who acts like a white woman. And Malcolm spoke in that debate. Let us go on. These esteemed ones from among us. Jesse Jackson, keep hope alive. I am for somebody. I don't rightly know for who the hell I am, but I am for somebody. keep hope alive, as well as scholars such as, I've mentioned, Gates, Cornel West, Orlando Patterson, and Selwyn Cudjoe. Give me a break. These critics generally have found this book to over-rely on isolated information out of context, anecdotes without a historical or demographic perspective, and paltry figures without comparison. For example, the names, gee whiz, of 11 Jewish Confederate Navy officers are listed. But how large was the Confederate Navy? Hell, we don't learn that. The biggest historical controversy rests on Jewish commercial involvement in the slave trade. This book claims that Jews were the main beneficiaries of the slave economy, but the established historical record finds only about 2% Jewish involvement. Don't misunderstand, guys. Our position, that was 2% too many. Still, probably, all the Jewish slave traders combined did not buy and sell as many slaves as did the firm of Franklin and Olmsted, the largest Negro traders in the South. Furthermore, the secret relationship has explicitly drawn on the rhetoric of white supremacists, whose hatred for Jews is matched only by their contempt for blacks. The stereotypes of both minorities have a haunting similarity. The truth is that all of the European powers were involved in the slave trade, and it was supported by nearly all white Americans, North, including Protestants and Catholics, labor and business, North and South. And slavery in North America predated the first Jewish immigration by over 30 years.
Yeah. And now, our feature presentation.
Historical context finds only a minor role of Jews in the slave trade, but a profound role of Jews in the struggle for civil rights. Some even gave their lives, and many saw the inside of Southern jails. The record of working together for social justice much more, much broader than a negative incident of this book's focus. The whole record should not be forgotten. I wanted you to go over this with me, and now I want to attack the hell out of it. Let's look at it. They referred to our book from the Historical Research Department of the Nation of Islam, called, entitled, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. Here they say that it is by anonymous authors called the Historical Research Department. Well, my brothers and sisters, this book was not written by anonymous authors. This book is written by all Jewish scholars, all Jewish respected writers, scholars, publishing houses, clergy, that is what you will find in this book. We have compiled from research from among all Jews what Jews have to say about who? About you. The book, we open it, as we dare to open it, on the King College campus. The information contained herein has been compiled primarily from Jewish historical literature. Every effort has been made to present evidence from the most respected of Jewish authorities. From the most respected of what? Talk back to me. Talk black to me. Don't be scared. Come, Kathy's here. Susie, Heather, Cindy, Bob.
Dale, Larry, the hell with Heather. Present evidence is from the most respected Jewish what? What kind of authority? Jewish authority. Whose works appear in established historical journals are published by authoritative Jewish publishing houses. Now let's get started. Throughout the history of the practice, Jews and the African slave trade, Jews have been involved in the purchase and sale of human beings. This fact is confirmed by their own scholars and historians. Whose scholars and historians? In his book, A History of the Jews, Solomon Krazel, a Jew, states that Jews, quote, were among the most important slave dealers. What did he say? They were among the most important what? In European society. Lady Magnus writes that in the Middle Ages, quote, the principal purchasers of slaves were found among the Jews. They seemed to be always and everywhere at hand to buy and to have the means equally ready to pay. Henry L. Feingold, and they're always looking for gold, stated that Jews, who were frequently found at the heart of commerce, could not have failed to contribute a proportionate share to the slave trade directly or indirectly. Solomon Grazel, A History of the Jew, From Babylonian Exile to the End of World War II, Philadelphia, Jewish Publication Society of America, page 312. Lady Magnus outlines of Jewish history, and it goes on to tell you the different Jewish publishing houses that published it, but it also tells you that it can be found in the Jewish Encyclopedia, New York and London, and it goes on to tell you which edition, what page, what volume. Brothers and sisters, the so-called Jew, and I must say so-called Jew, because you're not the true Jew. You are a Johnny-come-lately Jew who just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe just a little over 4,000 years ago. You are not from the original people. You are a European strain of people who crawled around on your all fours in the caves and hills of Europe, eating beautiful roots and eating each other. You knew nothing about fire. You knew nothing about deuteronomy science or nothing about embalming. You left your dad right in the cave with you, and you slept with your dad for 2,000 years, smelling the stench coming up from the decomposing body. You knew nothing about bathrooms and toilets and restrooms and sanitation systems. You did your number one and your number two, your PP and your 2-2, which should be a dope, right in the caves and hills of Europe. You slept in your urination and your defecation generation after generation for 2,000 years. You know nothing about fire. You knocked your animals in the head with clubs and boulders and bricks or whatever you had at that time. You made or chiseled or found already that way and drugged them back to the cave, dragged them back to the cave, and all of you would just gulp them and eat the fur and the dirt and the filth and suck the blood from the raw meat. And you still eat your meat raw to this very day. While you live like this, this black man and black woman that you in a condescending way look down your nose at on the King College campus, you're looking at the sons and daughters of your very mothers and fathers to the white tour in this audience. Why, you wouldn't even be here if it were not for the original black man and the original black woman. We are your mother and we are your father. Not only are we your mother and father biologically and genetically and historically, but we are the father and mother of all of the disciplines, all of the sciences, everything that you have built your so-called civilization on? Why is it a secret relationship? It's a secret relationship because you have lied to us all this time. You have lied to us. Now, one man born from Sandersville, Georgia, a little black man named the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, raised up by God in the midst of the black people of the world, but in particular in the midst of the black man and woman here in the hells of the United States of America. Was Elijah Muhammad God's man, his messenger, his Messiah in our midst? And now he has shaped and anointed and appointed by God's command and commission one Honorable Louis Farrakhan, whose mission now is to open our eyes, to wake us up, and to teach us the truth after we've been lied to for so long. The so-called Jews, let me cover that before I get too far. Let's go to the Bible. Is it all right? Some of you have put this book down. But the Bible is a roadmap to our liberation and salvation, if properly understood. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible actually has our history. We're living in the Bible right now, brothers and sisters. We're walking on the pages of Scripture. The late night news, the early evening news, the headlines of the newspapers and magazines can be found right in this Bible. But you must go in the Bible with a proper understanding. Otherwise, you go in a fool and come out an even bigger fool. The Bible is written in parables and symbols and metaphors and similes. And someone must uncover the parable, the symbol, the metaphor of the simile, so that we must understand the pitfalls and the snares that the white man has added to the book. Everybody got a virgin. Schofield virgin. Some cracker named Schofield. Dewey virgin. Another Peckerwood named Dewey. King James virgin. Here's a sister. Can you name a virgin of the Bible after a screaming sister? The Shenane of his day. The wonder of his day. God does not name holy books after homosexuals. Khalid Muhammad came on our campus and insulted the Jews and the whites and the homosexuals. Don't you all go in the same group together? I didn't come here to take no prisoners. Didn't come to take no prisoners. If you wouldn't have been so silly standing out on the sidewalk, passing out flyers, calling yourself with this passive-aggressive punk protest, I probably wouldn't even mention you that much. But the students chose this subject because they're catching so much hell here unto you on the King College campus and in the surrounding Union area. A Jew stronghold. But you're weak tonight. You won't come in and face me on the book. You stand on the sidewalk like a sissy. You hide in the dark like a pup. But you won't come in and face me on the book. I went out personally and invited you to come in. And you shook in your shoes and peed in your boots. What a lie. Say whatever you want to say. Heard a lot about me, but you haven't heard from me. When I'm here, bam, damn, in your face. Straight up. Straight up. Let's look at the Bible here for a minute. See what we can come up with. Let's go to, hold on for a second. Let's go to the book of John. Is that all right? John, the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. All right? Then said Jesus, who's talking? talking, let me stop right now. When I say Jesus up here, I'm not talking about no blonde hair, blue eyed, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, pepperwood, cracker, Christ. When I say Jesus up here, I'm talking about the Jesus that the Bible says his body would be like jasper. Another scripture says his body would be like pearl. Another scripture says his body would be like fine grass, as though it had been spurred in and up. It says he would have hair like lamb's wool. I'm talking about that nasty hair. I'm talking about that goodness. Before you fried it and dyed it and laid it to the side. Before you got your scary curls. Before you got your temporary purpose. Before you got your blonde wig running around King College. Tell my blonde, have more fun. You're not having no more fun. The Bible says Jesus would have nappy hair. So where did these pictures come from with this stringy hair, straight hair, blonde hair, blue eyed, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, peckerwood cheeks? It's the white man. The white man got a God complex. Pope Julius II, who commissioned Michelangelo. And I ain't talking about no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Pope Julius II commissioned Michelangelo to change Jesus from black to white. His hair from nappy and kinky to straight, weak, and straight. So now we have a white. But the Bible says, I beheld until the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit. And it goes on to tell you that he would have hair like lamb's wool and his body would be like fine grass. Hurt in and up. There are white people throughout different sections of Europe to this very day who make their prayers in front of a black.
He said, you seek to kill me because my word
has no place in you. Jesus said his word has no place in the Jew. Was that Elijah Muhammad who said that? Was it Louis Farrakhan who said that? Was it the little student of theirs, Khalid or Qadir, who said that? No, it says Jesus said, my word has no place in you. He goes on to say, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. So Jesus starts playing a dozen with him. He starts talking about their dad. He said, yo, we got different daddies. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if. What did he say?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Yeah.
If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you seek to kill me, Jew, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this Abraham would not do. You do the deeds of your father. Then the Jews said to Jesus, we be not going to fornication. We have one father, even God. You know how they're quick to say that. One people, one planet. Hell, you didn't want to share it with us until it got all out of whack. Until you had messed up the ozone layer. Until you had destroyed much of the rainforest. Until you had tampered with the delicate balance in nature. Polluted the very air that even you have to breathe. Polluted the very water that even you have to drink. You didn't want one planet, one people, until you had messed it up. Now you see your demise, and you see our rise. And so now we are one people. Multiculturalism, buddy. We need a divine for diversity. Give me a break to go and hold on. But you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this Abraham would not do. You do the deeds of your father. And they went on to say, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God. What did he say? What did he say? If God were your father, you would love me. Now that preposition is a strong preposition. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, Jew? Even because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father, the devil. What did Jesus say? You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he seeketh a lie, he seeketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of the lie. Jesus started playing the dozen with the devil. Told the Jew, the so-called Jew, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of the lie. Now, Jesus, clearly, John the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse, going down to the 44th verse, tells us that these people are of the what? Of the devil. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Is it all right? Let's go to the book of Revelation. I sure wish those esteemed professors would come in out of the cold and take this whooping in person. I got something for you, Professor. Professor Goldberg. Don't stay hiding out there. My leader sought dialogue with you. My leader did everything to show that he is a man of character, a man of principle, a man of God. My leader extended to you the torchlight to shine the light for you. But you, like the way of all of cannot accept truth coming from one of the lowly slaves from in your midst. And so though he shines a light, a torch light in America, it is a torch light for that people that the Bible says, that people who have walked in dark, but who would see a bright light arise and shine, for that light is come. So he shines a torch light for us, but it is a torch light for America also. If you would adhere to what he is saying, to God's warning through his messenger and through his divine warning in your midst, then maybe you could have an extension of time. But because you like ancient Pharaoh symbolically in scripture, your heart is hot. You cannot hear the warning of the one in your midst. Revelation 3 and 9. Revelation what?
Yeah.
Write these scriptures down. We also have John, the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. Going on down to the 44th verse. Well, now we'll go to Revelation by John the Revelator. But Jesus is in here too. 3 and 9. You ready? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. What does it say? I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not Jews. What does it say? Behold. Don't get hung up on behold. All it means is, look at this, yo. The writer is saying, yo, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not Jews, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship and bow down at your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Revelation 3 and 9 speaks of a people who would call themselves Jews, but who are not Jews, but who are, according to Revelation, not Elijah Muhammad, not Louis Farrakhan, not Kadir, not Khalid, but according to Revelation, they do lie, they are not Jews, but they are imposter Jews, and according to Revelation, they are the synagogue of Satan the devil. That's according to the book. Don't play it. What I'm going to do, if the book says, then Jesus just got so slaying that these guys, Daddy was the devil. Jesus stopped pulling limbs off the family tree. This thing is serious. No wonder they hate Jesus. No wonder they don't believe in Jesus. No wonder they crucified Jesus. It was the Jews who crucified Jesus, the so-called Jews of his day. They contended with Jesus on a daily basis. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and later a special group called the Sanhedrin. All
right.
The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and a group called the Sanhedrin. I wish you had your rabbis in here.
Yes,
I wish you had your professors in here.
Buddy.
You didn't want to talk to Louis Farrakhan. You disrespected arrested him. And then you lied on him in the media to try to make black people believe that he had compromised, that he had capitulated. Every wise leader has to meet with the enemy. That's not compromise. That's not capitulation. Even Jesus met with the devil. He went up on a mountain. Even God met with the devil. They talked about Job, the servant of God. Now the scriptures say the sons of God came together, but Satan was also there among them. Huh? Elijah in the Bible met with the wicked king Ahab. Moses and Aaron, under that symbolic prophecy in scripture, met with Pharaoh. Why do I keep saying symbolic? Because ain't no white Jews ever been in bondage for no 400 years in black Jews. Just a damn lie. You've never been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. That's why they call us Kemetic. That's why they call us the Kemites. That's why you named us Egyptian. Black. First. We are dominant. Strong. You are recessive. Weak. You've been 400 years upon us. We wouldn't even be able to recognize you now. We would have swallowed you up and annihilated you. That's your fear. As Dr. Wellstein says, of genetic annihilation. As we came with the keys to the colors, buddy. You weren't in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. I've been to Kenneth. I've been to so-called Egypt 7 times. Dr. Yusuf Bidyakin, Dr. John Henry Clark, two of our grand master historians and esteemed and venerable elders and masters of history, have been countless times. Dr. Maulana Karek, Dr. Ivan Van Cert, Dr. Sheikh Asa Diop. Huh? One of the upcoming great historians among us, Brother Anthony Browder. Many of the greats, Professor James Small, Dr. Leonard Jeffrey, Dr. Rosalind Jeffrey, Dr. Nathan Hare, Dr. Julia Hare, Professor and Dr. Ava Hillian out of Atlanta, Dr. Jake Coretta. They've all been. We've been in every library. We've been in every museum. We've been in the temples. We've been in the tombs. We can't find any record of any white Jews ever been in, having been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. Do you remember when Walter Cronkite was sitting at the base of the pyramid with Anwar Sadat and Mr. Cronkite with that golden cracker voice of his? Mr. Cronkite said, "Isn't it wonderful, Mr. Sadat? He's sitting at the base of the pyramid built by Mr. Pagan's people." Anwar Sadat said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "We have no history of that. How can you lie?" It says that Abraham, you say, is the original Jew. But Abraham was a black man. He came from Ur of Chaldea. But when Abraham arrived with the so-called first group that you try to rest on, we'll let you rest on that for a second. When Abraham arrived, we had built the pyramids already. We had already sculpted the Sphinx. Hundreds of years had passed. Some scholars say even thousands of years. You didn't build nothing, buddy. If you built the pyramids, why can't we go somewhere else, guy, and find such greatness among you? All your stuff is crumbled and fallen to the ground. Pyramids, called one of the wonders of the world. Planet Earth, 196,940,000 square miles. 57,255,000 square miles of land, coming up out of 139,685,000 square miles of water. So teaches the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But that ancient black man, that ancient black woman, our forefathers and foremothers, our heroes and heroes if you study the history and the history of the balances of our brain, and with the span of our head, we were able to determine geographically the center and build the pyramids. And the white man called the pyramids one of the wonders of the world, which means in spite of the Empire State Building, in spite of the Sears Tower, in spite of all Westminster Abbey, in spite of all of its great architectural buildings, he calls the pyramids one of the wonders of the world, which means, buddy, that this cracker is still wondering how we were able to do it. Haven't figured it out yet. No white Jews ever in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. You're not the chosen people of God. Stop telling that lie. Let's go a little further with this. The secret relationship. Many of you put out the textbooks. Many of you control the library. Library. NBC. ABC. CBS. Don't see nothing. Make sure we don't see. Warner Brothers. Paramount. Huh? Hollywood, period. Some of your own Jewish historians have written books on the inordinate influence of the so-called Jews in Hollywood. Some of your own Jewish writers. You put these negative stereotypes out on black people. We always clowns on TV. I love mugging. But I'm tired of us being fools for white folks. The only way we can get on is to be fools for the white man. And we always got to be a sissy before it's over. We got to dress up in drag so the white man can laugh at us. Men's in fear. In living color. Look at it, brothers and sisters. Dr. Jeffries was right. 100% right. When he talked about your influence in television, in radio, I'm adding that, but in the movie industry, particularly in Hollywood. You also are most influential in newspaper, magazine, print media, and electronic media. If I'm lying on you, come forward. If I'm lying on you, let's have another forum where you've had a chance to go over my word, and I'll meet with your best so-called Jew mind. Bring me 10 of your best, and I'll come with my God. It's my person. Believe it or pie in the sky in the sweet by and by after I die, I believe in something sound on the ground while I'm still alive. Cindy, Daner, Heather. It's true. Very cute, though. They have them in the palm of their hand. Many of our politicians are in the palm of the white man's hand, but in particular in the palm of the Jewish white man's hand. Stinking David Dinkins ran for mayor when he ran the first time. He'd come on television with his yarmulke on. Nigga didn't wear no African boots. He didn't wear African clothes. He didn't wear a kente crown. He didn't wear a red, black, and green crown. He didn't wear a football crown. He wore a yarmulke on his head. Boot licking for the so-called Jew. He said, ah! I, David Dinkins, I'm the first to repudiate Louis Farrakhan, the anti-Semite. He came on television, that's how he ran his political campaign. How many saw it? Hold your hands up if you saw it. You know I'm not lying. Wore a yarmulke, and he said, I was the first to repudiate Louis Farrakhan. Well, you're catering to, Dinkins. Buck dancing for the white Jew, imposter Jew vote. But this time, they let our boy down.
Yes, sir.
This time, white Jewish Democrats, white Democrats in general, crossed party lines and voted strictly white. They say, we believe that Giuliani will be a better nigga than Dinkins is. And so he's so happy to get in office, we believe that he will be better. What about what came up out of New Jersey here? When Ed Rollins, what is his name, Rollins?
Oh,
Ed Rollins let it out that they had paid some Negro preachers. That's a shame. Another subject for another time. Maybe it'll come out in the question and answer period. Look at it, brothers and sisters. There is the palm of their hand. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went to meet with them, and he said, Brother Collins, my meeting with the white, with the Jews, I'm saying white to make a distinction, his words were, my meeting with the Jews can be summed up in four words. He said, I went to meet with them not to compromise, not to capitulate, not to sell my people out, but I went to meet with them to say in four words, let my people go. Let my people go. That's why Louis Farrakhan met with them. You say, but what about this playing the violin? David played on the harp, but when it was time to take Goliath out, he pulled his slingshot out, struck Goliath in the head, took Goliath's sword and chopped his head off and went on back and played a tune on his harp. You know what I'm saying? Look, brothers and sisters, don't let the propaganda machine of the white man turn you away from your salvation. Louis Farrakhan has the key to your salvation today and to our liberation. The counterintelligence program of the FBI, set up by Gay Edgar Hoover. You know Gay Edgar Hoover.
Black power, my dear family. It's your brother, Sean Kwali. Hopefully, you are enjoying what you're hearing. This is the secret relationship between blacks and Jews that was delivered by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. This is around 1994 in November. I believe it's November of 1994. And so much of what you've heard about it, I'm sure that by now you can tell it was completely overhyped. The brother The general straight up dropped it. I mean, straight up been laying it out. And so we give you these things, we give you these lectures so that you will go and check it out for yourself, so that you won't believe the hype. The last words that you heard the general say on this piece right here, he say you don't believe the media machine. That's what he say. He say don't believe it at all. And it's the same thing that's going on today with the new Black Panther Party right now today. Hell, the media machine, the spin doctors, they spinning and they spinning and they spinning and they spinning. As Chris Rock said, they spinning and spinning and spinning. So, again, dear family, if you like what you're hearing, you can reach out to us on nbpphq@yahoo.com, nbpphq@yahoo.com, newblackpanther.org, and we'll get right black off into it, the final part of this secret relation between blacks and Jews and black power.
And now, our feature presentation.
Cause we, baby, kids, we don't die. We hold the top. We don't die. We hold the top. So, brothers and sisters, let's get the politics right first before we get the money. Don't you know that this is the same devil who's trying to get out from under the economic sanctions?
What could we do to encourage the creation of capital pools within our own financial institution.
Do you have this book yet?
Maybe I need to read that.
This book, yeah, this book. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan deals with the finance system and the economic fiber of America, and to some degree, it touches on the world. And I think it would be a good book.
Another contribution.
Well, this one's already bossed up, and I got all my war points in here. But do you have any, Brother Sluviata and Sister Chandler and 25? And Mosque 25 has a book display of liberation literature also set up outside. So, I mean, make sure, brother. And you should meet our ministers. You're a finance man with a finance major. You need to go and sit with our minister there and do it. You know, when we gain this knowledge, we got to use this knowledge for the benefit of the rise of our people. How can we keep our black banks from closing?
Just how do we create capital pools within our own nation?
How do we create capital pools within our own nation? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has started the 3-year economic savings plan. I know that Dr. John Henry Clark attacked him verbally. I love Dr. Clark. He attacked him and said, Minister Farrakhan never finishes a program, starts things and don't finish it. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And you can't see what we're doing. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan started the 3-year economic savings plan. In 3 years, the plan launched. But our people are slow. And if at the end of 3 years he did not have the capital that we desired to do certain projects, then what should he do? Give all the money back? Or extend it? Well, he not only is extending it, but he is also, for Dr. Clark's advice, information, we advise you from now on to wait a minute. Great and venerable elder and scholar and historian, wait. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that we have now paid cash $1 million+ for our own multi-million-dollar computerized printing operation so that we can now print our own book, print the Final Call newspaper? Did you know Ebony and Jet, that they don't print their own magazines after all these years? The white man still print? Or if not the white man, you know, still print? We can now negotiate with other black publications that don't have the capacity to print their own. We're paying cash for it. Where's the money coming from, Dr. Clark? Coming out of the 3-year economic savings plan. Did you know that we have now purchased the sales and office buildings on Cottage Grove, a high-rise on Cottage Grove in Chicago? Did you know we have now bought what used to be the big market, a big office building on Halstead? Did you know that we are now beginning to negotiate and make plans for buying farmland, dairy, cannery? And we will be within a year's time setting up a shopping mall, a shopping plaza, what they call a strip mall in Chicago. Where's the money coming from? Part of it from the 3-year economic savings plan, and the rest from a major economic thrust among the believers in the Nation of Islam and our brothers and sisters who are members of the Nation of Islam, but who have not yet joined yet, you. Did you also know that in addition to this, we will have our own fleet, black people, we'll have our own fleet of diesel trucks rumbling the highways again during interstate trade and commerce? Did you know that we will open up eventually our own black bank again, the way we used to have on Stony Island? All of these are plans coming up out of the 3-year economic savings plan. We need a communication system. We need radio. We need television. We need to set up a capacity, and we're working toward that so that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can sit in not our White House, but our Black House, the Palace in Chicago, and actually talk to the world on satellite. that kind of example. Normally, black people fall out over money. But in the nation of Islam, a capital pool, that kind of economic bank, we're pooling our nickels and dimes. We're pooling our dollars. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in the tradition of his spiritual father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is proving to us that a dollar with Elijah or a dollar with Farrakhan, you don't have to worry about anybody stealing your money. You give Elijah or Farrakhan a dollar, they give you farmland back. They give you banks back. They give us trucks back. We're now negotiating. We're talking about we need cargo planes again. We need passenger planes. We are now going to begin to make a base for all of them. In addition to that, brother, we found that many of the black banks, they're all connected, as you know, to the big bank downtown. Many of the black banks are only glorified check cashing places. When you get to transactions up to a certain amount of money, the bank can't even handle it. They'll have to delay you for a week or so until they can handle the transaction with the big white bank downtown. We found out that the Federal Reserve ain't really owned by the federal government. For the cracker, the cracker, the cracker. Anyway, but it ain't owned by the federal government. The Federal Reserve is owned by, you just touched on it a little while ago, it's owned by the Jews. You go back to the Rothschilds, you go back to a lot of the early Jews that are in that financial system. Well, brothers, technically, we're going to have to pull together as a people and begin to our knowledge, our wisdom, and pool our resources mentally, morally, spiritually, and financially in order to ultimately, as God brings us up out of this condition, in this position, in this situation, we're going to have to seek a nation of our own and freedom and independence. And if everybody else could do it and nobody criticizes this, then you shut your mouth when the black man and woman stand up to build a nation of our own and develop our own.
And black power, my family. That was the King College speech right there in the early 90s, like 93. I mean, this speech here, brothers and sisters, the black man, the black power general, straight talking about what time it is, even right now today. Building a nation of our own, building a nation of our own, having to do for ourselves, having to make our own word bond, not depending upon the white man, the white power structure, white folks, or white rice, white pasta, white cereal, white nothing, anything. We ain't depending on nothing white. We depending on straight up, straight down black hands. We're depending on the black man, the black woman, to do for self and to be willing to stand up and to do for self, to be strong and to be counted on and to be ready to build something of our own. That's what time it is. And if you want to know, for you detractors, if you want to know what the new Black Panther Party is about, what we stand on, why we talk the way that we talk, why we make the moves that we make, and why we act the way that we act, it is because we are following a black nationalist program, a revolutionary black nationalist program that is designed to bring our people into the spirit of Kuji Chagalia. And I want to say happy Kwanzaa for all of those who celebrate Kwanzaa in this day of Umoja. Happy Kwanzaa to you all who celebrated. Man, we got to make it more than a holiday that was created by Dr. Malana Karanga. It's got to become the values and the principles of the Ngazu Saba have to become more than just a holiday or just something that we do for a few days, but it has to become ingrained in our day-to-day actions and what we do on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. It has to be ingrained in us in what we do. And so for those who celebrate, again, the new Black Panther Party, your brother Sean Kwali, we all say happy Kwanzaa to you. And, you know, I mean, again, as the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, the National Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, bear witness to her, somebody got to be strong. I'm just telling you, Everybody can't punk out. Everybody can't capitulate. Everybody can't tiptoe through the tulips. Everybody can't make it all pretty and dress it all up and make all that happen like many do. We got to give it to you straight, raw, with no chaser. And so I know we got a little bit of time left here. I think on this night, on this Monday night, we had to do it real radio style. I think I'll give you all a treat tonight. We won't stop the Black Power General. We'll give you some more. We'll give you another one. This one, the last one that you heard, the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. He was official representative in the Nation of Islam. This one we're going to bring to you is coming when he was straight up chairman, New Black Panther Party. And this is a very, very timely lecture and a lecture that we will have to really, really adapt to and put into our everyday cycle here, especially in the new year coming. And if you haven't heard this one, I'm telling you, put this in your library. Don't even wait. Don't even procrastinate. Don't make an excuse. You know, in fact, if there's any lecture out there of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad that you don't have, make it a point, my dear brothers and my sisters, to go get the lectures. It does not do us any good to be Panthers, to consider ourselves Panthers, to consider ourselves revolutionaries, to consider ourselves workers or helpers in this cause, and we dumb as hell to what the Black Power General really represented, or we're dumb as hell to what the National Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, represents. It doesn't do us any good. It doesn't help the mission. It does not help the 10-point program. It does not help the 9 local objectives. None of that helps unless we are properly educated, unless we're properly studying, unless we are disciplining ourselves to have the proper representation, outlook, and perspective as was given to us by our generals, by the leadership, by those who have paved the way for us to make our way here today.
To make any point.
He's given all the time he's been in America. Now they do something to ourselves. The same people say everything you beat us in. We'll raise our eyeballs in the socket. And we'll raise our face and beat us and stomp us before the world. We're the same people that get up because God just made us with tender and sensitive hearts as his chosen people. And so, can we just,
Gandhi's position did not carry. The final vote by the House of Representatives on the matter of condemning Mr. Muhammad was 361 yay, 34 nay. You have, sir, been condemned by the United States House of Representatives. I assume you are flattered by that action. I believe that my ancestors, I believe that the blood that cries out from the grave of my ancestors who went to an untimely death at the hands of the white wicked slave traders, I believe that they cry out, their spirit is around me and their spirit emanates from me. And I believe that as a righteous man of God, but as a freedom fighter and a revolutionary, it is one of the greatest honors that could be paid.
Muhammad, can you please tell me why it's blacks who are killing hundreds of thousands of blacks in Rwanda and other places? And can you please tell me why from Haiti, blacks from Haiti, are just risking their lives to come here to the United States of America?
Black people have been robbed, as I said earlier, of a knowledge of self. And when you rob people, sir, of a knowledge of self, then it means that they start to take on the characteristics and the nature of their oppressor and their colonizer. And his mind, by automatic, systematic, remote control, rules in our people. He gives them the gun. guns and the weapons and the drugs and the alcohol, the way you did our brothers, the red man and the red woman, brothers and sisters, the way you did our Latino brothers and sisters, and then you pit one against the other and then say, look at what these people are doing.
May I have your attention, please? Thank you. Adolf Hitler perpetrated a Holocaust on 11 million people that died, 6 million of which were Jews, 5 million were others. Am I to understand that you would very much support his way of doing things and him, for that matter?
This is not reverse racism or discrimination that you could tie into your statement on Hitler. If the slave master is whipping the slave and blood is running down the slave back, and the flesh, and forgive me where the term cracker comes from the cracker man who was crack, had the crack of the whip on the slave's back. But if the slave takes the slave master's whip from him and starts whipping the slave master with his own whip, that is not reverse racism, that is not reverse discrimination, that is the slave getting out from under the yoke of bondage and oppression.
United States House of Representatives, in an unprecedented action, I don't know whether there's a precedent for the U.S. House to take its time to debate and vote on the condemnation of a private citizen, but it has done that. 435 members of the House of Representatives debating the condemnation of Mr. Muhammad. Here are two members of the House on opposing sides. Calling for the censoring of Mr. Muhammad is Congressman Lantos, followed by Congressman Abercrombie, who makes a statement in behalf of free speech. Watch this, House of Representatives.
On November 29, 1993, at Keene College in New Jersey, Mr. Khalid Muhammad, a senior representative of the Nation of Islam, delivered an outrageous and violent attack on the principles of racial, religious, and ethnic intolerance. His attempt to incite violence by preaching bigotry and hatred must be swiftly and forcefully condemned by this body. Governmental sanction against any speech, objectionable as it may be, is always suspect. The Constitution has proven to be our strongest safeguard against the Muhammads of the world. Let us respect and revere the Constitution of the United States and vote down this resolution.
Congressman Abercrombie's position did not carry. The final vote by the House of Representatives on the matter of condemning Mr. Muhammad was 361 yay, 34 nay. You have, sir, been condemned by the United States House of Representatives. I assume you are flattered by that action.
I believe that my ancestors, I believe that the blood that cries out from the grave of my ancestors who went to an untimely death at the hands of the white wicked slave traders, I believe that they cry out, their spirit is around me, and their spirit emanates from me. And I believe that as a righteous man of God, but as a freedom fighter and a revolutionary, it is one of the greatest honors that could be paid. Believes in what has been revealed, and so do the believers. And I am a believer. In Islam, we believe in one God whose personal and proper name is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that one God, we believe, sent all the prophets and the great ones in the great line of divine, and we believe in all of the revealed scriptures. I don't know you, sir. I could feel that if you were attempting to live according to the law of God, then you might be my brother in the faith, but not my brother by nature.
Mr. Muhammad, are you aware, Mr. Muhammad, that the courts martial system on or about World War II, condemned many black sailors for their involvement in handling munitions where many of them died as a result of their handling these munitions. Would you believe, Mr. Muhammad, that the Jewish war veterans that I'm proud to represent took this issue on, and we have condemned the United States Navy as it relates to the deaths of these sailors, and we have condemned them for their continuance dishonorable discharge of these black sailors. I ask you, Mr. Muhammad, what have you done on this specific issue?
Well, it's kind of difficult to believe you on anything, but I would say this, that I do know that during that same war, that America was, as is today, so racist until the German officers, when they were captured, could eat in the same mess hall and have the same accommodation as the white American officers. But the black troops were segregated, couldn't come into that mess hall unless they were scrubbing the floors and washing dishes. So it was a white man honoring another white man, though one was American and one was German, and they were supposed to be enemies, there was still a tie that was able to bind the two together.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Yes. You want to show that? What is that? Is that a...
When is that time going to come so you can learn about my history and understand my people? We are not in your books.
Yes, Phil, I'd like to say that. You know, what he's saying is being backed up by Jewish scholars as well. This is not only the information that Khalid has. Jewish scholars have the information. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. He came to Fort Worth, Texas, where the police department is killing black men wholesale. Six black men have been killed in less than a year. But through his efforts, there's been a change on the gang members' part in our community. So we appreciate Brother Khalid.
This whole notion of anti-Semitism. The one thing that is incorrect statement, because the whole idea of a Semites were people who lived in southwestern Asia, including Northeast Africa and Arabian Peninsula, who spoke Ugaritic, who spoke Jeez, who spoke Ethiopic, spoke Hebrew, who spoke Arabic. Those are our people. We are a Semitic people. Therefore, we cannot be anti-Semitic. Ashkenazic Jews are calling us anti-Semitic. We cannot be anti-Semitic because we are the descendants of a Semitic people. Let's lay that to rest. That was a weapon in the hands of the Jews since 1870. They used it against other people, but it doesn't work against the people in Northeast Africa. Thank you.
Sir, I
can't believe exactly what I'm hearing. We went to war in World War II to fight for the freedom of speech. We didn't fight for freedom of speech of hatred. Many of our members, I'm a National Commander of Jewish War Veterans, and over 50,000 of our men died then fighting for your right to speech here now. I don't understand why you come out with such hatred.
Phil, excuse me.
Phil.
You make me sick to my stomach with that. Because at the same time that you were fighting, you were not fighting for the freedom and independence of black people. Soldiers, black soldiers in segregated companies lost their lives on foreign soil there, but would have to come back and fight just to get a bite to eat and not have to go to the toilet on the side of the road somewhere in the bushes. So you're nothing but hypocrites, and you won't pull that small-time stuff. Come on, please.
Why don't we talk about how the merchant Jews come into our black neighborhoods and they suck the life and the money out of our neighborhoods and put it back into their neighborhoods?
First of all, I'd like to say peace to all the gods and the earth. Peace to all the people that came here to represent. Brother Khalid is definitely a true warrior in the cause of the black struggle. What I'd like to say as a young black youth is that I feel that America has subjected me to a holocaust. You understand? From all my ancestors all the way back to even right now, Rodney King, the brother Staten Island, all we've been subject to is death and destruction here. And as far as Jewish people in the Bible, they say that ye are the synagogue of Satan. And I'd like to ask you people, why do you feel that you have cornered the market on sympathy, and why can't you feel the pain of the black holocaust? Why do you think that when we say the black holocaust, that it's some blasphemous statement? I'd like for y'all to address that.
Blacks are the chosen race. blood that runs through your veins is equally as red as the blood that runs through mine? Do you think you're in some way, shape, matter, or form superior to me?
Of course.
You are. So all black people are superior to white people?
By God's
own ordination,
yeah.
Then why in our society, for example, is the black race or African Americans experiencing so many problems that they're experiencing?
Well, you know the answer to that, and the...
No, I know, that's why I'm asking the question.
All over the world.
And over, renamed the land, colonized them, enslaved them, and put them under their yoke anyway. So whites are in the superior position, no matter what the social, political, economic, or religious order, because of the wickedness and the underhandedness of the white man the world over.
Sir, but not all white people are evil, wicked, or endorsing. Sir, I have never enslaved any human being. Let me finish my point now. I have never enslaved any black person in my life, nor would I endorse that or support that. I certainly look and view the slavery or the history of slavery in this country, for example, as evil, reprehensible, against the will of God in our society. Many white people fought for the freedom of slaves. Many people risked their lives, as did Harriet Tubman, during the Underground Railroad, to see to it that that evil was changed in our society, and I think that was a good thing. I think when you look at the marches of Martin Luther King, white, black together marched for equal justice in our society. Certainly, you're not going to impugn the whole race of white people, are you?
What I am going to say after such a strong statement is that whenever there is any sign of what even appears to be righteousness and that which appears to be a spirit for justice and fair play and fair dealing, I am not one who would blanketly criticize that. If indeed that is your spirit and your personality, and if indeed you can point to many others who are that way, then certainly I would respect that.
Then why should I have respect for you if you don't equally respect me in that vein, if you look at yourself as far superior to me?
I am not one who would just look at myself far superior to you, but let me point this out to you. White people, you should be having this show with one of your own. White people teach that they are the father of medicine, the father of music, the father of history, the father of philosophy, the father of the sciences, the father of all of the disciplines of the world. I think that is a very ethnocentric and a very racist, white supremacist view. They teach us that angel food cake is white, devil's food cake is black. You wear white to weddings and you wear black to funerals. It's not good to lie, buddy, but if you must lie, it's all right if you tell a little white lie. If one is the black sheep of the family, blackball you, blackmail you. If I go to the pool room for a little game of pool, you got a white shiny ball on the table, knocking the hell out of the black ball, the brown ball, the red ball, and all of the balls of color, and the worst ball on the table is the black ball. If I go to church, you got a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, white Jesus, when the Bible says that Jesus is a man with nappy hair and black skin. So white supremacy runs throughout every phase of white society the world over. So my position on this show this morning is not to establish some grandiose and way out black supremacy, but to fight white supremacy and meet it head on.
And do you think most Americans, especially white America, is racist and against you to the
degree that you're... Of course, most white Americans.
What percentage would you say?
The United States government boasts about the fact that it is a government where where the majority rules and the minority has to go along with
what degree of American.
So if you have an overwhelming majority of white folks who are so fair and good-hearted in America, why haven't your overwhelming majority of white folks stepped forward to do something about the wretched condition of black people here in America?
Oh, haven't we made some strides and turns
about?
No strides since 1960, none at all.
No, let me
say
why I mean that.
I would like you to explain that.
During Reconstruction here in America, there was a civil rights bill passed at that time. Black people held all kinds of political positions, and it looked like a period of political a turn after slavery for black people in this country. There was even a voters' rights bill, and all of that was passed. But when white folks got sick of that, they blocked the doors of Congress. They drove black people out of all the political positions. And so 100 years after that civil rights bill, another civil rights bill had to be formed and fashioned. Now we're debating and arguing with George Bush over the voters' rights bill. We already had one. That means it wasn't worth the paper that it was written on. Look at all the treaties that the white man signed with our brothers and sisters, the Red Indians. treaties that would wrap around the globe and then some, and broke every treaty that he signed with the Indians. We can't trust that anymore. Can't trust it.
Let me ask you this. Why is it let me ask you a question. Why is it then that so many African Americans today are making it in an inclusive society? Why are they becoming successful? Why are they prospering if America were as racist as you're describing it today? I'm talking about mainstreams like Oprah Winfrey, the multitude of talented black African American athletes in our society, the talented African American business people in our society, the Colin Powells, the Arsenio Halls, and the list, the Bill Cosbys, the list goes on and on and on. Are these all Uncle Toms? Have these people sold out? How would you describe and categorize these successful blacks in our society?
These are very God-gifted and very talented black people. But they are also, Mr. Hannity, exceptions to the rule. They do not reflect, nor do they represent the poor, suffering masses of black people.
Well, why aren't you there helping them instead of creating this animosity and hatred and race divide?
We create no animosity and hatred.
It's not animosity. You're not creating animosity to white people listening to this program when you arrogantly step on your high horse and say that you're superior to whites.
I'm not concerned with what white people think about what I'm saying on your program, nor am I concerned about what you say and what you think. But let me point this out to you.
Yes, sir.
Over 20 years ago, President Lyndon Baines Johnson organized the Kerner Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kerner Commission, this prestigious, pristine presidential commission, was to go out and study throughout America and determine the main problems in America dealing with the races. They came back with conclusive proof to the president and to the White House that the number one problem in America today is white racism.
Mm-hmm.
They said there are two major situations here, two Americas, one black and one white, separate and unequal. 20 years later, today, the Kerner Commission has reconvened, and they say that the problems of yesterday are worse today than they were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no difference that black people are mayors and that black people are public elected officials. The masses of black people are still catching hell. And if our condition is worse, in spite of all of these, what appears to be surface window dressing games, then it really means nothing.
Oh, so these people are just flukes, are just very talented people that have...
Well, I'm not going to sit here and let some devil attempt to put me in a position
Am I a devil?
You're attempting some devilishment on this program.
Am I a devil?
You want me to speak against my sister, Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to speak against Bill Cosby.
No, sir.
You think I'm some lightweight, so you want to push me in a corner to say something against them.
That
is a devil who would try that.
Oh, so I'm a devil.
You're acting like one. Are you one?
No, sir, I'm not a devil.
Well, don't act like one.
I'm not acting like that. No, sir, let me tell you, sir, I admire the talents and abilities and the contributions of African Americans, wherever they might come from. See, my vision, sir, of America is far different than yours. As you see, I see this.
It should be.
But what I see, well, I don't think so. I think America is meant to be an inclusive nation where all people can prosper and be successful.
It didn't start out that way.
Well, if you let me finish my thoughts, I allow you to speak uninterrupted here.
Certainly. You're right.
What I'm trying to point out to you is that if America is going to be inclusive, if we're going to create this avenue or window of opportunity for all people, what I would like to see, instead of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or some of the racist bigotry that you're spewing on the program today, I would much prefer that we see black, white, decent, good, wholesome Americans that believe in values that are strong, family-oriented, that will keep this nation strong, going forward, working together, and becoming successful. You don't share that vision. You would much prefer the separatist vision.
Would you like for me to speak on what I do feel, rather than you be my spokesman?
I'll tell you what, as soon as
are
we come...
Are you my national assistant?
Would you like me to be?
No,
considering I'm a devil, you wouldn't want that to happen. We'll take a break.
The devil is my national assistant.
I'm a devil. Come back, we'll talk more with Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He's a national assistant to Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. And we'll open up the telephone lines this morning as well. If you'd like to be on the program from Huntsville, all of Madison County, 830-2277, 830-2277. Toll free this morning if you're on cellular 1 at star 770. And you can join us from Limestone County, 232-3911. WVNN News Talk time now is 10:20. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More of the Sean Hannity Devil program coming up next right here on AM 770 WVNN. Now, good morning, and thank you for listening to AM 770 and the Sean Hannity